What happens when a licensed trauma therapist
and a totally unlicensed curious human
team up to talk mental health, intuition, and all the weird little parts inside us?
You get This Way In, a podcast about everyday well-being, parts work, healing, and the woo-woo stuff most therapists won't touch.
We're not your therapists, but we might be your tour guides you didn't know you needed.
Subscribe now so you'll automatically be notified when we launch this puppy.
Find us on Spotify, Amazon, and all your favorite podcast apps.
Ghost stories are always scarier when they're told by the very people who experience them. Hi, I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we're the hosts of the Homespun Haints podcast.
We talk to people just like you who have come face to face with ghosts, demons, haints, and other strange paranormal phenomena. All of it makes for a chilling good time.
So grab yourself a sweet tea, turn off the lights, and listen to some eerie, true ghost stories on Homespun Haints, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not scared. Are you?
Hey, hate the stairwell. I hate it. I don't know why.
Everybody, thanks for joining us again. Tonight, we discussed the Dead Files episode Fatal Attraction, which is season 2, episode 1, originally aired August 10th, 2012, so 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Amy, you chose this episode, so do you want to tell the people why it was your choice?
Sure. It was mentioned in a Reddit thread that I was reading about favorite episodes, and it sounded really interesting, and a lot of people liked it. So shout out to Freckles1284 for suggesting it. What they said was, my favorite is the one where Amy investigates a dental office. The dentist had a soft spot for the female ghost who was killed by her father. He would leave toys in the closet for her and even painted her. What struck me the most about this episode is the sketch of the evil father. It was spot on.
Yes. And we talk about that in the show. Like,
we do.
It was so good. It was probably one of the best I've seen.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't have anything else. Do you, Megan, have anything else you want to tell the people before we get started?
I don't.
Okay. Well, hope you enjoy the show, everyone.
Enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Fatal Attraction, and Amy is here with your overview. Take it away, Amy.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I rehearsed that for hours, so I hope I did it okay.
I love it. So this time, Amy and Steve are headed to Huntington, West Virginia, where a local dentist believes his decades-old practice is haunted. So badly, in fact, that his employees are afraid to come to work and patients are starting to see things. What starts as a typical case of bumps, shadows, and a sad little girl quickly unravels into something much darker. Amy encounters a violently abusive male spirit she believes brutally murdered his daughter. And that girl may be the one multiple witnesses have seen roaming the halls, crying in pain and fear. With conflicting historical reports, mysterious injuries, and a deep emotional bond between the living and the dead, this episode explores the tragic death of Lavina Wall and the possibility that her father may have had a deadly hand in her demise. So grab your holy water, your black salt, and maybe a tissue. This one's going to hit hard. And stay tuned to see if the activity continues. So, Huntington, West Virginia. I will say the first thing I note is that the first thing that we see is ring shot.
I mean, it is season 2.
It's right away. You know, Steve's in the car. I'm on my way to meet with a local dentist. And ring shot. He says that the dentist is afraid that he's his patients are starting to see things and he's afraid he's going to lose his business. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be like a nice incentive, you know, to just like, mm-hmm. you could even have a punch card or something that sure. says like, you know, with every third root canal, you get, you know, a ghost.
I really hope people don't need more than one root canal.
I know. I've had
but maybe it would be the other way around. Like every third ghost sighting, you get a free teeth cleaning.
Oh, well, that would be nice because I mean, dental insurance in this country is shit.
Stupid.
It's real dumb.
What's the point of it? I don't know.
I mean, you only pay like $4.
Right. But every quarter it doesn't cover anything.
It doesn't cover anything. No, it barely covers one cleaning.
Yeah.
Per year,
and if you need braces, it doesn't cover any of it.
Yeah.
And those are like $1 billion.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Literally.
I had to pay for a root canal and it was extremely expensive.
Oh, I had to get a couple root canals because I kept fucking up the one that I got. And then the Novocaine didn't work for me. So I felt them scraping my root out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told them right away that Novocaine doesn't work for me. Yeah. So I need whatever you have that's more
laughing gas. Yes.
Yeah. That I think they might have given. Well, they didn't give me gas, but they did give me like they called it the Cadillac version of Novocaine, and it did work.
Was that some good shit?
It was good, except that, well, it didn't make me feel high or anything. It just didn't feel the pain.
Yeah, well, that's
I metabolized it really quickly too. Mm-hmm. So like they gave me the shot, which hurt like hell.
Yes.
And then they walk away for 25 minutes.
To let
and I'm like,
effect.
Oh no, it's already taking effect. You come back in 20 minutes and it's already going to be waning.
Mm-hmm.
So
you must have a little redhead in you.
Maybe. I mean, my dad's hair was a little bit reddish.
Yeah, because redheads are, it takes a lot more Novocaine to get them numb.
Interesting.
Huh. Science. I don't know. I heard that. I don't know if it's true.
Science.
Science, bitch. That's what I say all the time.
All the time.
Oh my God. In high school, I had the hottest science teacher. I don't remember his name, but every time he bent over, all the girls would swoon. He was
hot.
I don't remember his name.
I had a hot French teacher. All the girls took French because the teacher was a hottie.
I'm going to text my high school friend. Her name is Megan P. Because I was Megan A and she was Megan P. And I'm going to see if she remembers because she knows she'll remember. So,
okay. We'll just cut this part out.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, I'll let you text your friend while I go on with the thing then. Okay. So then I had noticed that when Matt was clearing, he took down the sign with the dentist's name on it. Mm-hmm. And then I knew ahead of time that this one had something to do with a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw him taking all the pictures down, I was like, okay, that's good. Hopefully they didn't show him taking that one down, but I assume that he did.
But I wonder, do they have it hanging up?
Yeah. The portrait of a little girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, okay.
If you go, like, and I noticed this too, when Steve and the dentist, Dr. Grimes, are first talking, they show Steve on one side, dentist on the other, and the portrait is on the wall behind them.
Oh, okay.
Then the dentist goes, well, as a matter of fact, because he says, you know, he's telling Steve about the fact that it's haunted.
Yeah.
And
it is? Sorry.
Hey, wait, what now?
Wait.
Does this show have something to do with ghosts?
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Yeah. So
I thought it was just a show going over like people's like life stories in files because that's called the Dead Files. And I thought be like
dead people.
Here's Edna. She, you know.
It kind of is.
It is.
I mean,
actually.
Each episode we learn about somebody who's dead.
Yeah.
So I guess that's true.
Wait, maybe that's why they named it the Dead Files. Hang on.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
That's why.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I'll stop.
So, yeah. What's his toast? Grimes shows Steve a log, entry log. Made by
I thought that was awesome.
That was cool. And then Steve's like, well, I never saw a ghost log before. And just now that I'm saying that, I'm picturing a log that is like
a ghost?
Transparent because it's a ghost.
A
but
ghost
anyway,
log?
What he meant was, you know, an entry
log
book.
Of activity.
And I was like, Steve, I'm from the future, and you see that quite a few more times.
Which is, it was really great.
Yeah. I think it was cool.
It was very
It was all
cool.
handwritten. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So then Amy goes in, she sees, I think I missed a little part of Amy. I'm not going to go word by word here, but
that's okay.
She says, as she approaches, she sees dark images flashing. The dead are restless. They're trying to communicate with her. She's got an elderly gentleman with her. He's very tall, steely gray hair. Something happened and she hears murder, 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 murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Steve and the dentist speak for a little bit, she says a lot of people died here.
Mm-hmm.
Which
we never really get into.
No. I mean,
she says a lot of people died here, mm-hmm. but really we only talked about Levina.
Yeah.
And her dad.
Yeah. She had a little sister who died too as a child.
Yeah.
They
gloss it, over really. It.
Yeah.
I will say it was so funny when Steve goes, so Doc, this doesn't look like a dentist's office. I was like, could you be any more Brooklyn?
I know. I know. So well, Doc,
tell me what you got up here, Doc. I just laughed. I'm like, okay, Steve, we know you're from Brooklyn.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. Yeah. So then the dentist tells Steve about how he painted this painting of the little girl that he sees. And he said he painted it several years ago. I have it right here, in fact, which reminds me
I just happen.
I happen to have this painting. So, and then he says, yeah, she looks sad and she makes you feel that you've got to do something for her. And he says, I've tried to communicate with her through the painting and another way, and I can show you, I have toys for her here. And he goes to the closet, which doesn't have a door on it, or at least it's open, and it's got little kid toys all over the floor,
which I thought was so sweet.
It is cute. We find out later that's not a great idea.
I know, but it, like, how many people that they call them are like, I want, you know, he really, and I don't know if he is attached to her because he's just empathetic or if he's attached to her because she's making him attached to her.
I think it's just that he's a lovely person.
He is just the sweetest.
Yeah. He does seem really sweet.
I bet when he gets hurt, he goes, gosh, shucks.
Oh, golly.
Like, I don't think he's ever said a swear word in his mind. Look at him.
I know. He doesn't look like he swears, but he might.
He looks like he plays Santa at Christmas.
Yeah, he does. He does. He seems very sweet.
Yeah.
But they show us little teddy bear, and it has a little sticker on the front of it that says, try me. And I assume you're supposed to like push it and it makes a sound or something. But it sounded, when I looked at that, I was like, that's a little antagonistic.
Then Amy's try like, me. The bear's like, try just me, fucking try go. Me. I may be a white stuffed bear, but I will kick your ass.
I will kick your ass.
Don't you fucking try me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the message it was sending.
No, I don't think so either. It just made me laugh. So then Steve says, you feel like you're consumed by this whole thing going on in this house? And I'm like, that translates to, you know, you're a fucking nutcase, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're kind of obsessed.
Yeah.
And then the girl in the background's going, why are you so obsessed with me? Oh, that was not Mariah Carey.
No.
That was me.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You're kidding me.
I know. I get that a lot.
I thought she got her Zoom link somehow.
I mean,
just popped right on and started singing.
Even if she did, we're beneath her and she would not do that. Come on. She's a diva to the extreme. But you know what? I fucking love it. I used to be so annoyed by her, but now I think she's the best. I just love her.
I think she's an interesting person. She deserves what she got, her diva-ness. She's earned it.
And she throws the best shade of anybody I've known.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I know her, but you know.
Yeah.
We're BFFs.
Yeah. Right. All right. So, yeah, Grimes does say that he tries very hard to reach out to her. He does feel this empathy for her.
And he says, and everybody that we interview says who's seen this little girl, that like sadness just radiates off of her. Mm-hmm. So like every time they see her, she's just so sad.
Yeah. And I feel like that everybody that Steve talks to is like, they're saying like, oh, you can feel her sadness. Oh, she's been through a lot. Da, da, da. And I'm like, is everybody there sensitive? Like, not everybody would see her.
No.
Not everybody would understand her and feel her pain. Mm-mm. I mean, these people are all that seem to be really intuitive. Yeah, that's the word. So I find that interesting.
Yeah.
A whole office.
Maybe
full
he
of people
put it
like
in
that.
The job ad.
Yeah. You must be able to see ghosts and
looking
empathize with
for
them.
A dental hygienist. Mm-hmm. Must have seen ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, and apply be to here.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we show Amy and she's in the stairwell and mm-hmm. she says it's making her sick to her stomach mm-hmm. and she feels a lot of pain and negativity coming from the stairwell. I know mm-hmm. something horrible happened here, she yeah. said, and I'm nervous to find out what.
And you can totally tell that she's still like her newbie self.
Yeah.
Because she like later on, Amy, I don't feel like she would have said that.
Yeah.
She would have said something bad happened,
yeah.
you know, but she wouldn't have been like
she
all
have said she
kind
was
of
nervous.
Skittish or, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But true. Again, we're only in season two. I mean, they're both
right.
still
this
kind of
early.
Finding their vibe, their feeling, their footing.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
They're probably getting along at this point still.
They probably, yeah, like each other.
Yeah. But Amy says the little girl's heart is pounding and she's crying and she's peed herself and she's in so much pain. She thinks she broke her legs or something. Mm-hmm. So I guess you can probably guess what happened on that staircase.
Yeah.
So,
not good.
Oh, and then this deep man's voice comes to her and says, get out of here.
Yeah.
That's oh, no, that was good. Steve. That was Steve asking Dr. Grimes if
yeah.
he's experienced anything else. And he said, a voice came to me, a man's voice, very deep. And he said, get out of here. And this is a huge man. He's big. And I've heard him more than I've seen him. And then Steve goes, you've actually seen him? And he's like, no, I just said I heard him, not seen him.
And then that's when Dr. Grimes grabs the teddy bear. And he goes, fucking try me to the ghost.
Yeah.
The right. ghost is like, get out of here. And Dr. Grimes is like, try me.
Try me.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. No,
this
I can't
guy.
That.
Speaking of a teddy bear, that's what this guy is. Like this guy would be the most perfect grandfather.
Yeah,
he just radiates just delightfulness.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too.
I totally
got that vibe from him.
Yes.
And then I looked into him a little bit more, and I don't know if you read my research.
No, I wanted to be
page,
surprised.
But yeah, that's fine. But he's. I think he's a good guy. Yeah.
Like literally, he's Santa Claus every year. Yeah. I would guarantee you that he's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because he is just so sweet.
Probably. Yeah. So they show Amy on the stairs and I did a screenshot of her mm-hmm. standing there because I was trying to show the all the crap that they have on the stairs. There's like stuff like a something in a frame leaning up against it. It looks like a letter maybe is stuck in there. And so I took a screenshot of it. And then as I'm looking at it closer, it looks like Amy's coming out of her shoes. Her feet are up and her shoes looks like it's falling off.
Yeah.
Anyway, she and Matt are there. I'm surprised that Matt didn't clear all that stuff. Like all that stuff that was sitting on the stairs. I'm surprised that didn't come down.
If he didn't clear it, it probably doesn't have anything to give away.
Maybe, but I mean, if he's going to take down all the pictures and stuff, you would think he'd take down a picture that's sitting on the floor.
Or maybe he did take it down.
I don't know.
Nothing.
But it's weird, like, especially because it's on the floor and like mm-hmm. Amy could trip over it because mm-hmm. it's dark. You know, I don't know. Anyway.
Matt, call us. We have questions.
Please. We'll mark that down as a question for when Matt comes on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she says, this large, angry man is the same one I saw from when I first arrived. I believe he's this poor girl's father. He's very intimidating, extremely cruel, and sadistic.
Great. Just what words you want to use to describe somebody's father.
Right.
Super
well, and then
awesome.
It gets better because then Amy says he's laughing and saying she was a useless bitch.
Oh my God.
She wanted stuff all the time, this little bitch.
Cool. No,
didn't
I
didn't have any use for her. Yeah.
He's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He poked Amy too.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. 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 While she was standing on the stairs, right in that mm-hmm. same spot.
Like, I think she even like went, ow, and like moved away from him.
Yeah, she did. Like, you could see she felt it
what
coming at her from behind. Yeah. But yeah, so then we talked to Carrie, who is Dr. Grimes' daughter.
Do we ever learn his first name?
No, but I found it.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
No.
I have to look it up. We'll find out later. I want to say it's William, but I can't remember for sure.
He does look like a William.
He kind of does.
Or a Bob.
Bill. Bill or Bob.
I could see him being a Bob.
Yeah, I can too. So she says she did see a little girl while she was, when she was a child, and she was in the waiting room. She saw a little girl. She was peeking around the corner. And then she said she was 12 or 13. I remember her face and her hair. She had long hair like I did, which, no, that daughter had really pretty hair. Mm-hmm. It was nice, curly, like kind of curls I like.
It was very pretty.
Which I had.
Did we say this was actually, it looked like it was in like a house? It's not like a typical dentist office.
Right. It's in a duplex.
Yeah. Oh, you did say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I don't. Did I? I don't know.
I think you did. But yeah, it's not in like your stereotypical dentist office. It's a, it's like a house.
It was a, and people lived there. It was a home. And then,
juicy tiger.
And then Steve says, does it look like the picture that your dad painted? And she said, yeah. And then she says, Steve asks if she's concerned for her father. And she said, I just worry about his reputation. I mean, this is his livelihood. This is everything for him, right? 40 years worth of work. And then Steve goes, he's got so much to lose. And I'm like, okay, but just because you have ghosts doesn't mean that you're going to, your reputation is going to be sullied. The fact that you're leaning into it and you put up a painting of her and you have a little altar to her, you know, that is what people might go, that guy's not right. You know, it's, he chose to do all that.
Yeah.
He didn't choose to see her, but he chose to lean into it. And
also
that,
if they live in a small town in the South in West Virginia, you know, I see what you're saying, but I also see what she's saying.
I see that some people are not going to be down with it.
Right.
But if he was worried about his reputation, he would have zipped his lip about it and dealt with it on his own and not gone on a TV show. And so, you know, that it's his choice. That's what he wanted to do.
But maybe he's not worried about it, but she is.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, he's got so much to lose. Come on. It's not life or death here. Like, he's not hanging by the threads of sanity.
Right.
He's been practicing dentistry for 40 years.
Yeah.
So my guess is he's close to retirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's maybe calm it down here. Dig it down a notch, Carrie.
Dig it down. Yeah. So then Steve goes to talk to somebody else who was a former employer. Her name's Karen, Her name's Karen. And she worked there for a couple of years. And then he asked her about anything she's seen, and she says she was assisting with a root canal. She glanced up, the little girl was standing right where you're standing, she says.
Oh my God.
And then she describes her, and of course it sounds just like the little girl. And then she said, this room doesn't bother me as bad, the room upstairs. I went to get a file and I could feel someone in the room with me. She didn't see anything, she just felt it. And then as she's explaining it, she's like, I felt this something come over me. And she's scritching her hands together. And they show Steve look down at her hands and they show her doing something weird with her hands. And I was like, she's awfully dramatic. And she's making like funny, like Amy Allen goofy faces too while she's explaining all of this. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if she's a sensitive. I mean, obviously she's sensitive, but I wonder if she's more than that. Because she felt like she was feeling it at the same time. And that was before I realized that everybody else we talked to also is like this too. Because next we talk, I want to make sure I note that when they show Amy and Matt again, and she's like, I don't like this place. This guy is awful. He's a liar. And then she's referring to when he poked her on the stairs. And then Matt goes, is he back, hon? Oh, so cute.
I just wish they could have lasted.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a reason. I don't know what it is. There is a reason.
We don't know what it is, but we don't know. I hope that they're both happy.
I do too. He's remarried.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, he's still married to that person. She remarried also, but it's not still married to that person.
No. Dick. I don't know the story, but I know her reaction to it. And I'm guessing it was a dick thing that he did.
Might have been. I do know that I watched TikTok Live with Amy on it when she and her friend, I can't remember the name of her friend, but they were sitting on a couch drinking wine and Amy was getting a little tipsy and she was probably saying more than she should have.
Probably.
She said, because she talked about, you know, he whose name shall not be named.
Yeah.
And they were taking questions from people that were on the live with them. And somebody asked if her spirit guides had ever told her like steered her, tried to steer her in a correct direction about romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh yeah, definitely. I just didn't listen. Mm-hmm. And she was like, first with this one, it was this, and with this one, she said, when it was Matt, they said, don't marry him. That's not, you know, that you're not going to mm-hmm. be happy. And she was like, screw it, I'm doing it anyway. She goes, I didn't listen, and I wish I had.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we all do those things as
yeah, we do.
Part of our lives mm-hmm. that we have to do in order to get where we're going in our lives. Yep. So whatever, even
yeah,
it had to happen, right?
Yep, it did.
Everything happens for a reason, I believe. Mm-hmm. So
Same-sies.
Yeah.
Although I have some questions about some of the things that happened to me.
Oh, yeah?
Like, come on now.
Did you learn stuff, though, from them?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
but I feel like I could have learned in less time than they were.
Oh, I'm terrible with time. I'm terrible. I figure shit out and then I go, oh, yeah, I've seen this coming for 10 years and I didn't fucking pay attention until today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a day late and a dollar short for everything.
Preach, girlfriend.
Always. Yeah. Anyway, so now we talk to Charlotte.
Yep.
She is another former employee, not exactly a former employee, but she owned a cleaning business and they cleaned his offices. Mm-hmm. And she also has seen things. She was working in the kitchen. She heard crying. She said, this little girl's not just crying. She's sobbing as if her heart is broken. And then she was trying to comfort her. She went and sat down.
Like
and
everybody in this show is, this episode is just the sweetest.
I know.
There's not one person in here where I'm like, that fucking person.
Yeah. No, it's really refreshing because a lot of times some of the people on these shows
are like, hey, my dad wrote a book.
Bingo. That'll be on the bingo card. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
So she said she wanted to try and comfort her. She was trying to help her in any way she could. Mm-hmm. She couldn't see her, but she knew that she was there and she could feel her presence and all this. And I just thought, that's where I noted. I was like, are they all mediums? Like, how would she know? Because she said she suffered a lot and she continues to suffer. Like, mm-hmm. how would she know that if she hasn't seen her? She can't hear her. She can just feel her presence.
She could just be so guessing.
She could be.
I mean, you know, if.
Or maybe I'll tell you more about.
Okay.
Put a pin in that for the research and rabbit holes section at the end.
Okay. Got it.
So, Amy then says he's fucked up. He did not want to take care of his family anymore. This is the dad. They're mm-hmm. leeches, his family. And she thinks he might be starving them. And he's just a really bad person. And then she goes, there's blood everywhere.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cut to commercial. All right. So here's segment two, digging through.
Digging through the archives.
He was not digging through the archives. He was going through the library archives. And I didn't notice if he said library or library. Because I think last week he said library.
I think he said, it's his accent. I think he says library.
Yeah. Library archives. Anyway, he found an article about a 21-year-old girl who died in 1929 from a fall in the same building that Doc runs his practice at. He now calls him Doc. So he's
there. Like, I know. I love it. I love it. The Doc.
Yeah. And so he's headed to James Casto, who is a local historian. Mm-hmm. This guy cracked me up.
I know.
At first he was like, oh fuddy-duddy, kind of like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he just made me laugh later.
He's, yeah. He was a character, for sure.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
he was. Yeah.
So we find out about Lavinia Wall. And
I keep wanting to say Lavinia.
Oh, Lavina.
Yeah.
I kept thinking Lavina, but that's because
they
kept
saying Lavinia.
Yeah, it's Lavinia, I guess. But anyway, so her mother, Bernice, was married to this gentleman. No, he was not a gentleman.
Let's not use that word.
He was married to this asshole
named
Cyrus. And then they show a picture of Cyrus and he's in a car. He's got his arm hanging out.
He looks like a, like, just not a good person.
He doesn't. Like,
you can just tell.
Yeah.
When you look at this picture that he was not a good person.
Right. He just doesn't look. Yeah. He looks icky. And James Casto says, he liked to drink. And when he was drunk, he liked to beat on his wife. Cool. And then, of course, the next day, he sobered up and was very contrite. Yes, as
of
they
course.
Almost always
as
are.
As they always are.
Yeah.
That was the day after the big blowout with he.
Oh, yeah.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's what they do.
Yep.
Yep. In 1913, Levina and her elder sister and her mother left and moved into this duplex on 20th Street in Huntington. Mm-hmm. And that is where the office is now. And then Steve says, we don't know if the father ever came back or tried to find them. And James Castro says, we don't know. And then he says, but this miserable bastard, this guy, apparently they had to get away from him. And he said, that's what the record suggests. We go back to Amy. She sees the mail. He's a liar, blah, blah, blah. She keeps seeing this dead girl's father by the stairwell, and he's very upset. Mm-hmm. And then Amy says he doesn't want her talking. He ran away. He's pissed off now. And I was wondering if he was residual and like if he was actually connecting with Amy other than the poking on her. But I thought maybe she's seeing him running around, maybe not necessarily from her, but just from the situation.
I think I maybe know. The scene she was seeing might be residual, but I think he himself was there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was.
But I think she was
say later
residual.
That they have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Matt says, this is happening right now. And she said, yeah. And then Steve is still talking to Casto and he says, well, she died from a fall, right? But the articles are vague. And the guy says, the articles are not just vague, they're contradictory. And then he says, here I have her death certificate, which mm-hmm. says that she died from acute alcohol poisoning.
As compared to ugly alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. It was so cute.
It's a cute one.
It's so cute. But the paper says she fell. So who do you think is right? And he says, I got no idea. I got nothing for you.
He's like, fuck if I know.
Steve. I know I'm a historian, but I don't know. I don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
So West Virginia went dry in 1914, but nobody stopped drinking. This is
of
James
Of course
Castro
they
said.
Didn't.
Nobody stopped drinking. One word, moonshine.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah, of course
shit.
They didn't because it was a stupid bullshit law. All that did is create the underground bootlegging.
Railroad.
I mean, that's
bootleg,
all it did.
Yes.
And killed people.
Yeah.
Because as we know, the government used to put enough poison into the medicinal alcohol so that people wouldn't drink it, yeah. but people drank it anyway, and then they died.
I didn't know this until this episode.
Oh, I knew it just from my other podcast where we talk a lot about bootleggers. I thought we had discussed it here before, too.
I mean, we probably did. I mean, I have the memory of Dory, so who fucking knows?
That's true.
I don't remember what we talked about this morning. So,
well, yeah.
I mean, and that could work to your advantage. You could be like, fuck, Megan, we talked
I
about
told
this
you that.
74 times.
I will say, I feel really bad doing this, but sometimes I do have to say to my mom, we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You told me. Because she doesn't remember when we actually really did have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I have to like use that because then she goes, oh, okay. And then she, you know, I'm not like, you know, trying to convince her to do anything. Or I'm just trying to, like, she'll tell me she doesn't like fish, but then she tells me she likes tuna salad. So I'm like, Mom, you told me yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, sometimes you have to do that.
Sometimes.
When they get to that stage.
Old people are like toddlers. I'm going to say it till the day
they
I die.
They are absolutely like toddlers. Yes. Especially in the candy and ice cream department.
Oh, my God. Especially your mom.
Oh, my God. Because she's been
gonna,
like that all her life. It's
she's
worse now.
She's going to turn into a Snickers bar.
Yeah, she is. Oh, I don't think she likes Snickers. Those have peanuts in them. That's too healthy. That's protein. We don't want that.
We don't want to fill up on protein.
No. No.
What am I, an Olympian? What am I, training for a marathon?
Actually, she did used to like the peanut butter parfaits, so she does
get
like peanuts,
those
but...
protein peanuts away from me.
That's right.
I'm sorry. We have gone off the rails.
I know.
So many. Have fun editing this. I'm so
late.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm leaving it all in. Well, most of it.
Most of it.
I'll probably leave my burp out. I'll probably cut that up.
Please do.
All right. So the newspapers and the death certificate and the other newspapers, none of it.
I mean, none of them match.
And that's how it was back in that day.
Right.
I mean, when I was doing my research for Volstead Land, I'd read the paper from one day and I'd read the same you know, Star Tribune or whatever. It was Tribune, I think, back then. On the next day, and it would be completely different. And it wouldn't be a correction. Like yesterday we said, da, 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 but we found out it's da, da, da. No, they just make up some new shit.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But so Castro says one article said that she died after an illness of 10 days as a result of a fall.
But her death certificate said acute alcohol poisoning.
Right.
Another article said she just fell.
Right.
So we have three different options for death right now.
Right. And then there's actually another one that I'll tell you about later. So I'll put a pin in that. So
everybody, I hope you brought a lot of pins because we're using them all.
Quite a few pins. So she said, we're back to Amy and she's, you know, feeling pain in her lower back really bad. And she hears a crunch. Yeah.
Hate that.
Yeah. And then Matt says, do you think this was an accident? And she said, no, he's happy about it. I think he threw her down. Tossed her over the banister. Yep. So now Steve is talking to Steve Murray. Steve D is talking to Steve M, who's a top paramedic. And so he's like, you know, he's telling us something's not right. This newspaper article says she died from a fall, but the death certificate lists another cause of death. So he sent all the paperwork over to one of the top paramedics. And so now he's talking to Steve. Steve times two. So, this guy, he was really interesting. I liked this guy.
I liked him a lot.
I really liked how he explained things because he said, like, if she was climbing the stairs and she fell 10 or 12 stairs, which would have been her height, two times her height, she could have had significant injuries to her head, bruises on the brain, bleeding that starts to spread, and that bleeding's starts to spread, they're going to have severe headache. After severe headache, they're going to have blurry vision. After blurry vision, ultimately altered mental status and then unconsciousness. So I thought that was really cool how he walked us through how she would have felt at every stage.
And now I'm like, really I know cool. what to look for if I ever fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
But I agree. I thought it was, and he was just like, it's almost like he was teaching. So I wonder if he's a teacher or a trainer or something.
I bet he's a trainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he definitely had that. If he's not, he should be. Because he definitely had that way of explaining things for lay people to understand, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And then he does talk about the alcohol for medicinal purposes. And they put traces of poison in there to stop people from drinking it, which it didn't work.
No.
And so then Steve says, well, what if somebody would have just ingested this? Would it taste like alcohol? What would happen? Mm-hmm. And he says, as she ingested this, she's going to have severe burning in her upper airways. As she swallows, it's going to cause burning going down her esophagus into her stomach, and it's going to aggravate her stomach lining. And then Steve asks if moonshine would have the same type of symptoms. And he says, yes, they filter these homemade spirits. When they filtered these homemade spirits, they were filtered through radiators.
Sweet.
Which eventually led to lead poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew that. I thought I knew a lot of things about bootlegging and making alcohol at home, but not because I've ever done it. But did I ever tell you about the time Greg made wine at home?
No.
And it tasted like feet.
Cool.
Yeah. He made it it was a kit, you know, that I got him for Christmas or something.
Yeah.
And I call it his feet wine.
His feet wine.
Yeah, it smelled like feet. I shouldn't say it tasted like feet because I've never eaten feet, and I didn't. I did drink it, but it smelled like feet.
How did it taste, though?
It tasted like bad not wine. Good.
Yeah,
I mean, it didn't taste like poison. I didn't have my throat burning or anything.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Greg.
Right.
The guy I dated before John was big into winemaking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did it smell like feet? Oh,
it didn't. I don't think I don't think we dated long enough for me to taste the wine.
Oh, okay.
But he had like bottles, like these huge gallon things of wine in his house.
Oh, yeah. We had I think we just did one.
Yeah.
And then we ended up throwing it all away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so radiators. I don't even know how you would do that. Now that I think about it. Because if you're going to heat it up, then the alcohol is going to burn off anyway.
See, the only radiators I'm thinking of are the ones that are attached to your wall.
Yeah.
So, like, are they pouring it down? Like, how do you filter that?
That's what I'm wondering. I was thinking, did you pour it in, like, instead of the water? But then it would come out as steam, so that can't be it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't. Well, I mean, I should have looked that up. I did not.
We would be really bad at moonshining.
I guess.
Moonshiners.
Yeah.
Moonshining. I don't know.
Yeah. I looked this up after we recorded and I asked, how did bootleggers filter moonshine through a radiator? Turns out it was a car radiator that they used. So we were picturing wall radiators, you know, to heat your home. This was a car radiator. And just my Googling it, everything I got was, don't do it. It's bad. Lead poisoning, antifreeze, contamination, yada, yada. I'm like, I wasn't going to do it. Just wanted to know how it was done. So that's how it was done, through a car radiator. You're welcome. So anyway, back to Amy now. And she says she died on the stairs. There was a sickness with the throat, really bad illness that affected the throat, like really, really bad. Like this is intense pain going all the way down. She basically said exactly what Steve Murray just said. So, and then Matt goes, can you describe the pain in her throat? And she said, it's like if you've eaten a lot of lemons and you get that pain in your ears and it's all raw and burning. I don't think I've ever gotten pain in my ears from eating lemons, no. But I guess I haven't eaten a lot of lemons. But I know what she means by that. Mm-hmm. That citrus pain.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Or like when you're drinking orange juice and you burp and then yes. It just shoots pain all the way down. Yeah. So, Steve is asking the other Steve, what do you think really happened here? And he says,
Steve is asking number two, Steve.
That's right. And he says, Ms. Wall either was drinking, went to climb the stairs, fell down the steps, and suffered some kind of head injury or internal bleeding, or she had fallen. And after she'd fallen, she may have been trying to lessen the pain, numb those nerve receptors by herself, whether using illegal or legal spirits.
But there weren't any legal spirits at that time.
No, not in 1929 when she supposedly died. Mm-mm. So, I mean, the legal spirits would have been the medicinal ones.
Oh, the medicinal. With
the poison in them, I guess. But yeah.
Or okay, the moonshine that potentially had lead in it. So either way.
Either way, she's not.
Yeah, it's not good.
Great. No. So now we're at the sketch and she's describing the man to the sketch artist, and she I thought that was interesting. They let the artist ask more questions. Like she said, does she carry a lot of weight in his face?
Yeah.
And
how
so
would
then,
you describe him? Like what would how would you describe him? A few words to describe him.
Right. And they only talked about this. So I thought there was only going to be one sketch.
I know.
But there wasn't. There was two. Okay.
But so I think she did say, I saw an older man and a daughter.
Yeah, she did say.
So to me, I thought she was going to do both of those.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to be the two of them together. You're right. She said, I saw an older man and the daughter. I think he brutally murdered. I'm meeting with the sketch artist to reveal what I saw. So, yeah, it did kind of sound like it was going to be a picture of both of them together. It was not. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Enjoying this spooky episode? Did you know we have a Patreon lurking in the shadows? Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the Haunted Lounge. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to threespiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So
raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues.
So now we're at the reveal, and Steve introduces them, and it's Karen and Dr. Grimes. Karen is the very dramatic one, was making all the faces and stuff. And so Amy just basically goes through, talks about how there's this girl there, and her legs are not right. One's mm-hmm. bent, looks broken. She was in agony. Her nerves were on fire, blah, blah, blah. And then they show a flashback of that. And then Steve goes, well, there was a young girl that did die back in 1929. Her name was Levina Wall. But because her death is unclear, newspapers say she died from a fall. And Amy goes, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Grimes goes, a fall? And I was like, okay, that didn't seem all that odd to me until I read more about it. So put a pin in that, too.
Grab your pins, everybody.
Grab your pins. Now, I hope that when I get there, I remember all the things to refer back to.
You're on your own for that. I already forgot all the other pins.
But anyway. Okay. So Steve says her death certificate said she died from acute liquor poisoning. Mm-hmm. And he explains the prohibition and the choking and the windpipe and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And Amy's like, oh. Mm-hmm. And then Steve asks Dr. Grimes to explain about having seen Levina, or this little girl. And Dr. Grimes explains, and my voice is getting all scratchy too. It's that burning in the, just kidding.
Have you been drinking moonshine?
Yeah, I have been drinking moonshine. Radiator moonshine. So
the best kind.
Yeah, the only kind, really.
Right.
So then they talk about her, and Amy says, well, I did do a sketch of the scene. I saw her on the staircase. And Grimes goes, oh, my God. And so they show this sketch, and she is like mostly on the, what do you call it? Not the platform. Landing. The landing in the center.
The mezzanine.
Where the stair goes up and then back down. Yeah.
Fancy.
Or up and then back up, I guess I should say. And her legs are like on what looks like the down part of the stairs, mm-hmm. and then her head is on the up. So she's basically wrapped around the banister, mm-hmm. it looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's a creepy drawing.
It is really creepy.
It looks like she's hanging on to one of the steps.
Yeah, it does. But her leg is bent at a weird angle.
Yeah, her leg is not where it should be.
No.
Yeah. And then Steve says to Dr. Grimes, how do you feel about seeing her like that? And he said, well, like it's like seeing one of your children hurt. And Steve said, did you get to see the face or anything? Because you know what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. And Amy says, I did not. I only got a quick glimpse. And so I didn't feel like I had enough to sketch her. Mm-hmm. And then Steve goes, well, I could not find a picture of her anyway, but the good doctor here is quite a painter. Mm-hmm. And he actually painted a picture of her, which I have. And he pulls that out and shows it to Amy and says, do you think it's her? And she says, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So then Steve asks Dr. Grimes to explain how he is trying to communicate with her and that he's put all these toys out for mm-hmm. her. And Amy is just, her face is like, ew. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oopsie.
Yeah.
And then Steve says, is this a good or bad thing? And she said, it's really bad. Because what mm-hmm. can happen is we become a little too attached. And that mm-hmm. attachment can actually be something else that holds them here. So it's not that the ghost is attached to him in that term that we think of when we think about having an attachment. Yeah. But he's attached to her. So she doesn't feel like she can leave.
Yeah.
And that's
because
not what
she would.
He
it would
wanted.
Make him sad,
right?
And she's already overwhelmed with sadness. She doesn't mm-hmm. want him to be more, you know, sad,
right? Right. It's just sad all around. Mm-hmm. So then Amy explains that there's this negative male at the top of the stairs. She thinks it's his father, and then they talk about the stuff that's been going on upstairs. But they've seen mm-hmm. the old man the man that says "get out of here," very violent, mm-hmm. and then. Amy explains how when she was talking to him, he got really mad, poked her, and then ran mm-hmm. off. Mm-hmm.
Which is like such a shit thing to do.
I know.
Like you poke someone and
he's
then run away. What a bitch.
He's a coward.
He is a coward. Most beaters are.
That's right.
Fuckers.
I know. So Karen then is explaining, it was so cold, it affected my whole body. My knees were shaking. It was very, very bad. And I wrote a note. No, emotional, not Karen.
What?
Steve goes, you're getting emotional again.
Which, so then they also show. Also, Steve, that's, you don't need to say that. Like, no, that's like, would rude. You have said that to the doc?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would you have said, doc, you're getting emotional? No.
Yeah, I called her dramatic, but I mean, emotional is one thing. I get emotional. Everybody has emotions.
Yeah, but it's I'm okay saying to I don't think them. You would have said that to a man.
Yeah. Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then Steve talks about this turd in the car, mm-hmm. the father. And the turd in the car. Should that be the title?
Yes.
The turd in the car.
I kind of like it.
I kind of do too. So Amy says, oh, look, I did a sketch. I think it might be him. And Steve goes, you think? And she goes, you guys tell me. And then Steve looks at it.
And okay, wait a second. I did want to say something and I forgot to write it in here. So he pulls the sketch out and the doc looks at Steve. Steve looks at Amy. Amy looks at the doc.
Yeah.
And there's this Family Guy skit where they're all looking at each other. It goes on for like 4 minutes. Like it is exponentially.
I think we talked about this before.
And it just
happened before.
And it just made me think of that because, and they had like the dramatic music and like the doc looks at Steve, Steve looks at Amy, Amy looks at the doc. Everyone, and I just, it made me think of that scene in Family Guy where it's like, it's in this, they do a couple of Star Wars spoofs and it's in one of the Star Wars episodes. But like everybody looks, it seriously goes on for like 2.5 minutes. Like it is so funny, but that's what it reminded me of. Funny. I just had to inject that there because I'm like, It was like,
yeah.
I'm surprised nobody. Poor Karen, she's left out in the corner sobbing. She's too emotional. Doc's like, nobody look at her. She's losing it.
She's losing it.
No, Doc would never say that.
No, never.
How dare you, Megan?
How dare? So then Steve goes, "Wow, look at this photo. Look at this sketch. You tell me." And I was thinking, thanks, Captain Obvious, for explaining once again
how
to
it
compare
works.
One thing to another.
Yeah.
But this picture?
Dead ringer.
Yikes.
And most, I mean, a lot of times when the clients are like, that looks just like him. I'm like, no, it fucking doesn't.
I'm like, what are you even looking at?
This one?
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Really did look like him. Yep.
The same mouth, the same nose.
Yep.
I mean,
ears.
It was perfect. It almost looked like she had that picture to reference drawing him.
Yeah. And Amy's like, I am freaked out a little bit. And Amy said, I think he killed her at the top of the stairs, picked her up and threw her over. And I felt so bad for Dr. Grimes. You could tell he was just.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said, I'm trying to find it in the script, but he's like, I thought he said something like, well, I'll be. Or like.
Yeah, just he like, did right here. It's he says,
oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Well, I'll
Amy
be.
Says, oh, yeah, he was very proud of himself. And he goes, well, I'll be. I never and even dreamt of that.
I was like, I love you. Like, you are the cutest.
I know.
Just that's but that's why I'm sweet. Like, he never swears because he's like, well, I'll be. Huh. He was so cute. Yeah. I just love
he was very
him.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
So Steve goes, all right, we're going to ask the most pressing question. Is it okay? Is it safe for you here?
Yeah.
And I did find it interesting that Steve didn't ask ahead of time what happens if Amy says you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
He didn't ask him, or if he did, it didn't make it to the end.
But it was still season two. So that
That's
probably
true.
Wasn't.
They I'm did thinking it, they... that they have done it early on like that. But I don't know. Maybe, or like I said, maybe they did ask and he
it
just
didn't make the cut.
It didn't make it the cut. Yeah.
I appreciate so that says, you stayed hydrated throughout the episode.
My throat is all scratchy, so I'm trying to.
You've been drinking. Is that
just
moonshine?
Water, I swear. It's water, I swear.
It's moonshine.
Not, what do they call it? Fire water. It's not fire water.
Not fire water.
Nope. Anyway, Amy says, first thing you have to do is get rid of the father. He needs to be removed from the location. And she brought some stuff for him.
Yeah.
She hasn't done this in a while. I mean, we haven't seen one where she's done this in a while, but she used to do this herself, you know, bring stuff for them and explain to them how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like later years, she would just say, go get a medium or go get a shaman.
A shaman or a Reiki master or a chaos magician.
That's right. She says she gives him a blend of natural herbs, something that you can burn and walk through the house with. It's a home blessing and protection. And it looked to me like ash and crack cocaine.
See, to me, it looked like marijuana buds. Like
but
a
it was
bud.
White.
Is it? I couldn't really tell.
I thought it was white or like gray.
Oh, maybe it was crack.
I don't know. Some kind of herb. I've never seen an herb that color before. But
salt.
Whatever.
But that's a spice. What's the difference between a spice and an herb?
Spice is like a ground up seed or something like that. It was ground, but it's like it comes from a seed.
Oh.
And then herbs are like the leaves of a plant.
So what's salt?
Salt is a mineral.
Actually, it's an element.
Okay. Yeah, it could be an element.
It is, because the chemical symbol for salt is Na, for sodium. Nah.
Nah.
AP is so happy right now.
I bet.
She was shouting at us, and then she's just sitting there going, oh my God, they finally got it. They learned. They Her little science anyway. Heart is so happy.
One more little correction. Salt is both a compound and a mineral, but it is not an element. It is formed from two elements, sodium and chlorine. However, in its natural crystalline form found in the Earth's crust, it's known as the mineral halite, which is a mineral because it has a definite chemical composition, is naturally occurring, and forms a crystalline structure. So she did also give him black salts.
Yeah.
And that's going to keep him out. You want to do this every day for a week. But she didn't say what they're supposed to do with it. I mean, she probably did.
She probably did.
And they cut it.
Yeah.
But you guys, why did you cut that out?
Yeah.
You cut out the part where she says, you have to do this every day without telling what you have to do. Anyway.
Yeah. What if somebody else needed that and now they'll never know?
Well, I think we know because we watched every episode that you put it on the perimeter of the house.
Also, if you've ever watched Supernatural, they make...
Oh, I have watched Supernatural. Not all of it.
I haven't. What am I thinking of? Oh, or Hocus Pocus. They do a salt circle.
Oh, okay.
And we are coming up on Hocus Pocus. It is September.
I know. Did I tell you I finally watched Practical Magic?
Did you just love it?
I loved it. It was
adorable.
Wasn't
it the best movie you've ever seen? Okay.
That's a little bit far, but it was very good.
Stop right now.
It's very good.
I will say you're going to laugh so hard at me. I can't believe I'm telling this, but when she's possessed by the guy and they're upstairs in the attic, that scared me so bad.
Yeah. It was a cute, funny movie, but that part was...
It was very
different
dark
than the rest of it. It was pretty dark.
Especially with the little girls running down the stairs and the camera with how they were working it and like spiraling up the staircase. Mm-hmm. But that is such a cute movie. I'm so excited for Practical Magic too.
Yeah.
And their hair.
Well, Nicole Kidman's always had amazing hair.
And they're both just naturally beautiful. Like, let's get that going.
For sure.
But my God, they were just absolutely stunning, both of them.
Yeah, it was a cute movie. I'll
watch
it again.
It was so
this year.
Cute. And Stockard Channing. Oh,
I know.
I love her.
I know too.
It took me far too long to realize that they had put a spell on those two to get them together. It took me way too long to realize that because I was really little when I watched it.
Yeah. But, Well, I can see why you were scared.
It was very cute.
Yeah, it was.
So anyway, back to this.
So back to the task at hand. We're almost there. She's got the black salt. And then she explains to Dr. Grimes how he has to get rid of this man. And she says, basically, like, just sit him down and say, we know the truth. Oh, no, this is to the little girl.
The girl.
Once the man is gone.
Sit the man down and say, hey. No.
No. That's the mysterious thing that we have to do to get rid of the man. Just didn't she didn't go into it too much.
Yeah.
But we have to have a talk with her, Lavina, and let her know that we know her story now, because a lot of times that's what they want is their story to be heard. So, you know, we can say, you know, we know that your dad did this and we know he's awful and, you know, it's not your fault and da da da. And then
and
she'll
we know
move on.
Your story and we'll remember you. And
And Amy does say it might take a while because she's so attached to him and doesn't want to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
But Amy says, or Steve says, even though this may look bizarre to you, looks bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just promise me you'll take her advice. And he said, I will.
I will say, Steve said, so Doc, are you going to be able to let her go? Dr. Grimes said, I have to. It's for her.
Yep.
And I just like that made me tear up. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I know. I was definitely in tears at the end of this one.
He is so sweet.
I did the first time I watched it, I did my voice notes to take my notes. So I was watching it and just speaking it into my phone. And my voice was all crackly and like crying at the end.
Yeah.
And then when I listened to it again, I started crying again. Anyway, so the end cards are, after following Amy's advice, Dr. Grimes is no longer hunted by the angry male presence. Mm-hmm. He continues communicating with Levina to help her move on. Yeah. And I thought, of course he is. He's not going to do that quickly, you know? And even if it's going to take a while anyway. But
even if she was ready to move on, she wouldn't because he wasn't.
Because he's not. Right.
So, yeah, I think she might have been staying until he was ready.
Until he was ready. Yep. Mm-hmm. Very, very likely.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was good. I really liked that one. It's time for Research and Rabbit Holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder. So what I found, I Googled dentist in Huntington, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. First thing pops up, William L. Grimes, DDS. He is still in business. He is still at the same location. And I looked at the Google page about him. Mm-hmm. 5-star reviews.
How many
reviews? He's very kind and treats his patients like friends coming to visit. His staff is great also. It's this one, I've been a patient of Dr. Grimes for 35 years. It's my hope he never retires in my lifetime. Which, that's kind of a scary thing to hope for, because depending on how old you are.
Yeah.
That means that you're hoping your life ends before he retires.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. It's like when I had this dog that was my love dog. When I remember when I brought him to the vet at one point, he wasn't really sick or anything. It was just a checkup. And I don't know how it came up. But I said, he had better outlive me because I will not survive him dying. And the vet was like, oh, don't say that. But I did survive. It wasn't fun, but I did.
Yeah.
Okay, so Grimes bought the place in 1973, and he started doing paranormal investigations in the 1980s.
Really?
Yeah. So this has been going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of articles about there's a blog that of the area that somebody has written, and there's all these stories about his office and the ghosts and Levina, and then there's like another one, and then I talk about a rabbit hole. I was going through all
this stuff.
It sounds
like it.
So one of the things that I suggested to put a pin in was that Dr. Grimes thought that Levina was 11 to 13 years old. Mm-hmm. She died in the house of appendicitis. Mm. So when they heard that she died from a fall and he was surprised, I think that was genuine, but I'm curious why he didn't get his hands on a death certificate or the
maybe
newspaper or, you know, I mean,
maybe
who knows when. Yeah. But like most of that stuff is public.
Yeah.
I mean, newspaper articles, sure. But so
I mean, he also is a little bit older, so maybe he didn't know how to.
That could be, but he's got a daughter who's younger. I don't know. Maybe she didn't want anything to do with it.
She was worried about his reputation.
That's right. So the person that wrote this blog did some more research on Levina, who she calls Livy. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole article about that. I'll link to it. But the owner of the home at the time Levina and her family lived there was Thomas Mannon. Mm-hmm. He willed the property to his offspring. It was managed by Homer Mannon.
What? He willed it to his offspring?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they say his children?
I don't know. That's just the way it was
written. That's weird. He willed it to his seed?
Yeah. That's right. So Homer Mannon, which is the son of this His offspring. He was the offspring. He owned the property at the time of Levina's death in October of 1929.
Not to be confused with the band The Offspring.
Right. That's different.
So he owned it when?
He owned it at the time that Lavinia died and lived there and died. And interestingly enough, was also a dentist.
Holy shit.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Like he wasn't a dentist there. That wasn't a dentist's office. No, but the owner of that home was a dentist.
And the yeah, wow.
Now I'm wondering if Lavinia has been in that house all this time. And when he came, Grimes came to look at the place for potentially moving his office in there.
Yeah.
I wonder if she somehow connected with him in that way.
Yeah.
And was like, this is it. Him. This is where you need to be. Mm-hmm. She probably could sense that he was a lovely a man. And that he was a I'm dentist.
Yeah.
She knew he was a dentist.
She knew. She looked at those teeth and she said, you take good care of them.
Yep. So I also saw that her father, Lavinia's father, was Cyrus Kemper or Kemp, a.k.a. C.K. Wall. Ugh. He died in 1952. And then there was another tombstone. This is somebody that had looked at the graveyard. Another tombstone was Lavinia's little brother, Irwin F. Wall, who was born on September 28th, 1912, and died on December 29th, 1913. So he was just a year.
Oh, old. Just a year.
Yeah. And then when we were talking about this last week, or last time we recorded, and we said there was a dentist office, and you said, I wouldn't think that there would be a lot of ghosts, nor would I want to see a lot of ghosts in a right. dentist office. And so then I got curious about how many people have died in a dentist office or in the dentist chair.
Sure.
And it's not a lot.
Thank God. If it was, I would be concerned.
Yeah. It's not. It is, let's see, 0.8 deaths per 1 million cases for office-based general anesthesia between 1996 and 2015. However, there have been documented deaths identifying 148 fatalities, primarily due to anesthesia complications, cardiovascular events, and infection. That's like 148 of all time.
Yeah, that's so, not many.
No, from since 1959 to now. 218 total deaths.
Yeah.
It's 3 deaths per 1 million persons.
Yeah. That's not.
Yeah.
Of course, say that to those not a lot. People.
So if you're worried about going to the dentist, I mean, you can be worried about it hurting, but just get the good Novocaine.
Don't be worried about dying.
Don't be worried about dying. But so, yeah. But the fact that this was an old home that people live there, that's where the ghost came from anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay, I did find something right now.
Doing
a quick Google search about him.
Yeah.
In November of 2024, Dr. William Grimes joined Ebenezer as a volunteer dentist.
I saw that. So I don't know why I didn't write that down, but I saw that, yeah.
Now, I know, I'm surprised you didn't. It was like the first thing that came up.
Mm-hmm.
So in this monthly clinic, he improves oral health of our region's uninsured and underserved.
Mm-hmm.
So he helps people... And he just looks so cute.
Yeah, I know. Dr. Grimes, if you're listening, we want to have you come on the show and talk about your experiences.
About you, because you're just a delight.
Yeah, you're amazing. So that's it. That's our
That was a good show. One.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, join us next time, everybody. But next week is going to be Beverly's episode that we actually recorded last week.
Yep.
For reasons that I will disclose at a later date. I am holding it until November.
Yep. Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.